August 21, 2022. It's a Whopper Pedro show.
Classical music.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I may be wrong on this. The term classical music, in my opinion, means to me, I think this, it means the music of a country that is played on the by the composers and the musicians of the country, more or less, and as opposed to the music that the people dance or sing by, the popular music. And I don't know, what do you think about it? Do you agree with that?
Well, that's I know, but
so in other words, I mean, there are classical musics all over the world, different types of classical music. And I don't know if I'm correct on this, but that's the way I feel about it. And as far as the types of music that if you would ask me what we are playing, and to go beyond what I've said already, I feel it is the music of this individual contributor. And if you wanted to name it anything, you could name it a classical music.
And related to the question about the classical music, have you ever studied classical music?
Nothing but the type that I'm trying to play.
Can't buy a tiger's eye, swanning. Not a moment too soon, swanning by the light of the moon. Try to act so hard, got a great big heart. I never knew a love could bring us so far apart. Swanning by the light of the moon, stunning, not a need to groom. Nobody knows what's going on, I do. Nobody knows how smart you are, I do. Let's get Skylark driving right up to the lake. Let the kids run around while we barbecue some steak. Swanning.
For Pedro Show, happy Sunday. Started off with John Coltrane in Japan, 1966, talking about his idea of classical music. Then we had Goosewind with Can't Buy a Tiger's Eye. And speaking of which, right from here in Pedro, they could have fucking came into my pad, but we're using the Estonian software. Skype. Rick Melody. A goose one. Welcome aboard.
Now, good morning.
I want to learn about, and we got to give credit to Dennis for making the connect. I want to give, and his Shrimper artists.
Yep, we're back with Shrimper.
Right, after many years. But let's go back when you first got into music, Rick. Can you bring your first memory of music? You know, going, you might have even been a baby.
Oh yeah, my parents always had music around. I remember they gave me my first Monkees record when I was like 5, and I started learning how to play drums along with Monkees records on my brother's little toy drum kit, and that was my first musical love. But music was always around. My mom played some guitar and piano, and my dad played piano, and we both sang in church and stuff.
So the pad had a lot of instruments.
Yes.
Yeah, so you jumped on like your brother's little drum set. Like,
yes.
You're talking like the plastic or paper heads kind of shit.
Yeah, it was kind of like half size, but it was functional. It even had a bass kick pedal.
You know, that first Urinals record, Kevin's using a little kid drum set with paper heads. they didn't know. You know, they were film students at UCLA. Same thing with the amplifiers, man. Why do we need 2 amplifiers? There's 2 inputs on this here. So both John and Cal used the same amp for the bass and the guitar.
It's sort of right.
The Shaw record. So what about the first record you bought with your own money, Rick?
First record I bought with my own money. Well, the one that comes to mind, I probably bought some 45s and stuff, but I remember I bought Pink Floyd's The Final Cut in the used bin at Rhino Records where Dennis worked back in the day.
Like Westwood, right?
The one in Claremont, actually.
Oh, that one. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. The one I know is the one that was by Ookla, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Miles Klein worked there for 9 years, I think. Some amount of time. And Dave Couch, I don't know the Claremont so much one, but okay. Yeah, he was talking about that. He sent me an email message saying he had managed 3 different record stores. This is Dennis. So maybe this Rhino was one of them.
Yes, it was. The old location of Rhino. It was inside this like arcade gallery kind of place, and it was really funky. It was like a treehouse kind of feel going in there, like a secret clubhouse kind of thing.
Do you remember the Pooh Bahs in Pasadena? It was kind of like a...
Yes.
Yeah, that was like...
I do remember that place.
It was like somebody's pad, right? Like a giant house.
Yeah, it's like an old-fashioned house.
Yeah, records. It was bitching. And they had good collection.
My first Swans record at that Pooh Bahs.
I don't know if you noticed, but coming from Pedro, that's the same fucking freeway.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know where it starts, where it ends, but I know we're endpoints. Let me ask you this. First gig you saw?
First gig I saw? Oh. Let's see. Some of the first shows that I went to were at the Green Door in Montclair.
I know that. It's a parking lot now.
Right. Yeah. Back in the day.
I did a lot of gigs there. I got interrogated by FBI and police because I was in a band where it was one letter off from another band's name, and they thought I was transporting young women.
Oh, geez.
Right before I went on stage. I said, no, man, it's kind of the same band, but not really.
Different. I remember me and my buddy had no money. We wanted to get to see one of your shows, actually, with Fire Hose.
That's what I'm talking about. Remember they had that weird kind of tell? It was kind of a crack house situation, sort of.
Yeah, the motel had I was delivering pizzas around that time, and there were a lot of prostitutes that stayed in those, the adjoining motel, truckers and prostitutes. Yeah, it was a funky place. It was cool.
But at least you could do gigs, right? And I mean, Claremont, Montclair, so funny those names right next to each other. But 4 or 5 colleges, right? Shit.
Yeah, and I went to a few of them.
Okay.
Yeah. I graduated from Pitzer, but I took classes at Pomona College and Scripps and Pitzer.
That's great. And I think it like JPL and stuff, right? The Rocket.
Yeah, Harvey Mudd, Engineering College.
Yeah, some crazy ass. Right? The guy what was his name? Patterson. He blew himself up in the basement with nitroglycerin making a homo nucleus or some shit. Something. Somebody was telling me some crazy ass shit. What about marching band, choir at school? Did you do any of that shit?
Not really. No, I played trumpet in the school band in elementary school for not very long. I couldn't get into it.
Yeah.
I really got into music when my mom gave me her Spanish acoustic guitar.
I was going to ask you, not like after graduating school, but after school in the afternoon, did you do the garage band, basement band, bedroom band thing?
It took a little while to do that, to meet fellow musicians. I just played guitar.
Alone on the acoustic guitar.
Yeah, pretty much just picking out Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd songs note by note on the record player.
What about you? With your own. Did you start writing your own tunes then?
Pretty quickly, yeah. I remember writing my own silly little song on piano at like age 7 or so. Just about typical stuff that I've noticed about things, like You can see the moon after the noon or something. I can't remember. It's little rhymes I came up with, but then I started actually writing songs that I thought were kind of like Syd Barrett and Pink Floyd. And I was like,
all on piano, or did you move it over to the acoustic?
Okay. Yeah, guitar became
my main thing. Lessons? Did your mom show you shit?
No, I think when I first got my first rental electric guitar and a little practice amp, I think I took one guitar lesson, but then I was just off on my own.
Because you said things changed when your mom gave her that acoustic Spanish, like nylon string?
Yeah, that's pretty much all I did. I got home from school and I would just play that guitar.
Okay, so for a while you weren't like no combos yet.
No, not till I was 18. I found like-minded musicians.
When school's over, so like college.
Yeah, I was in community college at Chaffey College, and I met a couple of guys who they were actually still at Upland High School. They were juniors at Upland High School. One guy was a really good guitar player named Brad, and a guy named Paul wanted to be like Bob Dylan and played harmonica, but he eventually got a bass. So then we kept using that toy drum set for a little bit and recruited drummers, tried out some drummers, but we stayed kind of a experimental folk kind of thing, and then we finally landed a drummer, and then we were on our way. So our first gig was...
Okay, so you stayed on, what, the acoustic guitar?
No, I went to electric.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Because you said something about a folk thing, but of course, you know, you can do folk on electric. What was the first gig?
At the Green Door.
And what was the name of this combo?
The band was called Chuck.
As in, like, where you put the fucking drill bit?
As in Chuck Bukowski.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, but you know, I don't know if you know about a drill, but it's called a chuck that you put the drill bit in, and the thing you tighten it up with is called a chuck key.
Yeah, like that.
Okay, yeah, Hank, you know, he did his last 14 years in Peter. He's in the same boneyard as D. Boone. In fact, that boneyard, it's up on Western. I don't know if that part really ain't considered Pedro, especially nowadays. They just built, that's where the Navy housing was. I came to you from Virginia. Now they got condos and some bullshit, Punta Verde or something, right? The Bridge of the View of the Bridge or whatever. Anyway, that's the boneyard, and it says on his gravestone, don't try. It's after some... But his wife, second wife, Linda, still lives here in Pedro. I don't know if you know where Enchilada House is by First and Bandini, but she's a block away on Santa Cruz. Yeah, she has all his stuff archived.
Cool.
I never met him there. I met him. He used to sometimes sign books at Williams. We used to have a happening bookstore downtown called Williams on 6th Street. It was over 100 years old. I think there's a record's being sold out of it now. But anyway, so that first gig at Green Door, Rick, what would you say, success?
Yeah, it was all a blur, kind of. It went so fast, you know. We were up there, and it was all of a sudden, it was over. I was like, what just happened? Because we'd only played backyard parties, and we used to plug in front of grocery stores. When we couldn't find a place to play, we'd just... plug in.
So that's actually not your first gig. You were already doing gigs.
We were doing, you know, backyard gigs.
Kind of underground.
Plug in places, uninvited. We just kind of plug in places.
Yeah, I think they call those bum rushes.
Yeah, we call them, exactly, we call them gorilla gigs in the day.
Yeah.
You know, we play anywhere.
We fucking did it at the junior high once, and, you know, just to play some Alice Cooper and Blue Oyster Cult, you know, with nobody there, right? It was summertime, but we knew that fucking assembly stage had some power outlets.
Excellent.
It's crazy ass shit. Yeah, Dotson, it's up near where I'm talking about, this north part. It used to be, they call it Rancho Palos Verdes now, you know, they annex them. So, I want to play some Goose Wind.
Cool.
By the way, that's your actual name?
No, it's not my legal name.
Oh, okay.
My stage name.
That's a good one. Use it and use that.
I'm thinking of the cap.
Use Zig and use Zag. Between this world and another, you're a being of vice. Of vice and light. of warmth and might. Sit still for all day. I doubt that will ever change. That won't change at all. That won't change at all. Thank you.
1, 2.
Dying optimism looks in your
ABBA, that's what they were called.
That's it. Yeah. ABBA. Right, I was trying to think.
Pedro show that chunk of music start off with Goosewind doing You Zig and You Zag. Francesco Fasaro after that. Brand new. Preludo alla Francesa. Bombas Prendon from their latest release. Pendulum Swingers. Zach Rosen, brand new from him. Circles. Zach with a Z, but Circles with a C. Bob Pollard, it's every other month, right? So it's got to be a new album. This guy, I can't believe the tunes he can kick out. You know, maybe 100 a year. Bitch. Youth Leagues. Then Equations, a collector with cut 1.3 from the Hellasan Sessions. Vex Party, brand new band out of the Northeast. Flywheel, Afternoon Freak. Something I did with Danny Frankel and Matt Motel. I think it's the third album. And they had me write all the beginning stages. And it's called Probably Too Big for Mouth. Mike Adams and His Honest Weight. Brand new. From Indiana. What they call it? Joyful Noise. The Dad and Tongue Tied. And finally, Goose Wind with Nonplussed. I remember the Lemon Kittens had a song. Like a lot of England slang, and there's one part where the guy says, yeah, I would feel nonplussed.
that's melody on banjo on Nonplussed.
Oh, okay. Now, let's talk about melody. Melody, bring the earliest musical recollection, please. Was it also Upland?
Pomona. I grew up
close. Foothill. Yeah, okay.
My folks, they listen to elevator music. So,
there any instruments in the pad?
Yeah, piano. I had to take piano lessons when I was.
Now how was that experience? Because it didn't sound like Rick had to endure that. Rick just got to jump on it if he wanted to. But did you have to go through the trial and tribulations?
Yeah, I was forced to play 45 minutes a day.
You know, I've had people on the show, right? I've had this show 21 years. 5 months, 4 months. And they almost quit music because of this fucking experience.
Yeah, well, I had a timer set, and I figured out I could, while I'm playing between songs, I could take it and knock it off a couple of minutes here and there. But eventually my mom figured out when, 45 minutes became 15 minutes.
Was she giving lessons, or was there a teacher?
No, I had lessons from outside.
Okay, because a lot of times it seems that's the problem. It's not the idea of learning. It's the fucking teacher ain't got skill. It's some kind of dictator trip or some shit.
No, I was only allowed to play, classical songs and, folk songs and stuff. And I got bored. And finally, after 4 years, my mom said, I'm not paying for it anymore. I was so happy. And then a few years later, I was at summer camp, and there was this cute guy, and he was playing ragtime, and I was just like blown away.
Did I turn at the campsite? What, like a keyboard, a Casio or something?
There was a piano there at the camp.
Yeah. Okay, so it was like more of a...
So when I got out of there, I bought a book of ragtime music and started playing that.
The Barrel House.
Love ragtime.
Who was that guy? There was a great guy, Gil T. No, let me get the guy who played the Blasters. Man, that guy could fucking play that shit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, you could be a one-person band. Right, you got your bass.
Totally, yeah.
And yeah. In fact, that's why Miles Davis hated him. Red Garland, Bogart, that motherfucker, Bogart too. You like Jamal. But why did he play with him? Why did he play with Red? It was just to make fun of the. I mean, you read that Quincy Troop book; it's a trip. So, what about at school? Were you in the marching band or the choir?
I was always in choir. I liked singing.
Yeah.
When I was like 9 or 10, I took.
No, I always ask about this because you know a lot of schools got rid of their music stuff.
Yeah, they shouldn't do that.
That's bullshit. And what was the first record you bought with your own money?
It was a 45 of The Hustle.
Whoa! The dance.
From Music Plus in Montclair.
I remember Music Pluses. Yeah, they were all around. They were all around the place. the one I remember was in Venice, huh? I think, yeah, we didn't have them so close to here in Pedro. And then the first gig you went and saw?
I was trying to think of that when you guys were talking. I kept getting distracted listening.
Well, you can only have your first gig once. That's why I asked that shit.
Well, I went to the Coliseum and saw the Who's farewell tour in 1982.
One of their farewell tours. I think they're still doing them.
Yeah.
I think they're still fucking doing them.
And the crash opened for them. That was pretty cool.
First gig I went to was with D. Boone. It was T-Rex at the Long Beach Auditorium, 1973.
Oh.
Yeah. Everybody says that.
Woo!
But he was so tiny, but he was good. I liked, but it was tiny. It was so much different to see a gig in a club. Oh my God, it was a mind blow. Wow, bass has got bigger string. That was a trip. Now, what about you? Now you said you went and got a piano book, so you're playing the piano at home to learn songs to impress that guy at camp, right? But do you get into the garage band, basement band, bedroom band in the afternoon after school?
No, but after school, I joined a band with a longtime friend of mine, and he got a couple guys, and they had a band. They needed a keyboardist, and I said, "Well, I play piano," and they said, "Great, join us." But I had learned to play, to read music, and to play that way, and I couldn't really play by ear.
Like improvise, and yeah.
Yeah, so, like, I didn't...
You know, I found that problem. People,
songs or something.
No, I've had people on the show that can play like motherfuckers, you know, trained through institutional means, but they need the music in front of them.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
It's such a trip. You would imagine that somebody with that kind of facility, but, you know, it's all about, it's kind of about culture also. So,
yeah.
You probably, Melody, learned some of this stuff through playing with these cats then, right?
What's that?
You probably learned how to do this shit by playing with them.
Yeah. Nah, not really.
Not really? Okay.
Pooped around and then everybody kind of had fights and broke up. And.
Oh, that's the other reason why you have bands. To learn about human qualities.
And inequalities, yeah.
Well, it's such a fucking nightmare if it could just stick to music, huh?
Yeah.
But you were just side mouse in this band, right? You didn't provide any of the material, Melody?
No.
Yeah.
No.
But do you remember the first gig with them?
We never played anywhere. But
it's one of those kind of bands. You're all pracking for the gig that never comes. Yeah. I think those are okay bands to have too.
It was fun.
Because why does. Why does it have to be about a gig? Just fucking playing, huh?
Yeah.
Take a little pressure off the thing like that. And so what? So you never end up playing anything with them, just the practices.
Right. And then I moved on to other things. I never I didn't play with any band until Goose went.
Until Goose went.
Yeah.
Well, you know, like what Orson Welles said, we'll sell no wine before it's time. Okay.
Yeah.
You were on that old Paul Masson trail. That's what you were.
Right. Yeah. I remember those.
It's like $2 Chuck shit. Yeah.
We won't sell no wine before it's time.
Yeah, but with the pause in between because the guy's a professional, right?
Right.
Okay, we're at the end of the first hour, August 21, 2022. This is what Peter, so special guest, Goose Wynn. Hold time, Albert. Toot. August 21, 2022. It's the second hour of the Walk for Pedro show.
I wind up here somehow each day, where I float and dream about another day. The waves come up, the city fades away. Feel free, like glass.
But the future is coming so slow, I think I can make it on time. And then once I'm in my seat and the bus takes off, I'll relax and enjoy the ride. Now the bus makes a giant circle, circles through a giant graveyard. But when you get back to where you started, you see that where you started is somewhere else. A little familiar, yes, but key locations have been shuffled like a deck of cards. They say, pick a card, any card, then you see it's all just a magic trick. Of course you draw the jack of diamonds, and that's the hardest card to play. So you take it down to the secondhand shop to try and trade it for something that's useful. But you've forgotten what useful means, if you ever even really knew. But when you get back to where the secondhand shop used to be, you see it's now just a hole in the ground. Ah, it's a very big hole in the ground, surrounded by men in suits. They're throwing great wads of cash down into it now. You see, it seems it's a lucky hole, the kind that entrepreneurs have wet dreams about. But my money's staying right in my pocket, 'cause I ain't so easily seduced. And so you wander off down the busy streets, where busy people do their busy things. And you start to understand and get used to the way things have changed. But then they all go back to the way they were, and I'm confused all over again. Ask a passing stranger for good advice. He says, man, just keep your feet on the ground. I say, stranger, it ain't that simple these days. The ground ain't what it used to be. And the sky, forget the sky. The sky's falling, Chicken Little was right. But before it could land on my head like an anvil, I ducked into a restaurant, ordered up a bowl of beans, then the waitress turned into a wisp of smoke. I'm going back out on the street now, looks like the sky has finished hitting the ground. 'Cause there's clouds everywhere you step, we're all walking on air. I stick around, except I don't like heights, so I'm gonna be moving along. And I'm taking that wisp of smoke along with me on my way to the no-go zone. On my way to the no-go zone. On my way to the no-go zone.
I'm not afraid of the dark.
Bought for Pedro show. Start off the second hour with Goosewind doing Alt Shadow Mirror Raps. You had some information and enlighten us about that one there, Rick?
Yeah, basically, I want to keep recording on old Tascam machines from the 1980s. So it's recorded on a reel-to-reel machine with half-inch tape. And it was really hard to find good tape. I didn't want to record over old sessions, so I went and bought a couple of reels, and they were unusable, so I had to find spaces in between songs from my 90s sessions to fit this new material. So that's kind of what I did with this song.
These had actual tiny reels, right? I think I remember them.
They're good size. They're 10-inch reels.
Oh, these were the bigger ones. Because they also had these ones with tiny little reels that went into these little bays. I think they were 1/8-inch tape or something.
Yeah, those are neat, too. I've definitely used those before, too.
Petra used a 8-track cassette that they made to do the Who Sellout. She had never heard the shit. I said, I put the whole album on track 8, and you fill up the other 7 with your voice. And she did it, you know, because she grew up with jazz and classicals. And then Pete Townsend actually had a lunch with her. He dug it. He said Roger didn't dig it. Fuck Roger. Okay, Organs from Ireland, brand new, Live in Downpatrick, an excerpt. And then Ben Salter out of Tasmania with Status Update. Sam Bennett, originally from Birmingham, Sun Ra's town, but been Tokyo for 25 years now. No Go Zone. And finally, Heaven, Goosewind. Both of you, please. Rick and Melody, how did Goosewind happen? Are you part of the first version, Melody? I know, Rick, you must have been first part, right?
Yeah. Me and my friend Thomas, it was just a side project, really, just recording little goofy songs on my 4-track.
You mean Chuck was the real band, and then on
Chuck,
the side was exactly. Goosewind.
Okay. Chuck was the real band, and my buddy Thomas Spector was in a band called the Skinny Bodies, like a Bauhaus kind of thing.
Okay.
And then Chuck was doing a lot of
rock bumping. You would not believe how many times the joke band becomes the big band, like with Chili Peppers, right? And What Is This? And
Right.
That happens all the time, you know?
That's exactly what happened. And I saw a flyer up at Rhino Records that said, PSST Records looking for local bands, right? Okay. And somehow I knew that was Dennis that put up that flyer, you know? Dennis was in my biology class at Chaffey College, and I was like,
there was a label before Shrimper?
Yeah, it was called PSST, like SST, but with a P before it. Pronounced piss, yeah. And I knew it was Dennis, right? So I went up to him, I was like, did you put that flyer on the thing? He's like, yeah. And I was like, hey, here's a tape of me and my friends just goofing around with the 4-track, you know?
Rick, how did you know?
I just knew. He looked like somebody
like this guy is sitting in your chemistry class, and you just know he put that fucking flyer up.
Well, I recognized him from working at Rhino, the old Rhino.
He was
in my biology class at Chaffey College a couple years before that. But I knew that he just looked like someone that had something going on in the music scene. And I wasn't really aware that other people were doing the 4-track in their bedrooms in the area, in the Upland area, you know? Uh-huh. And then, so when I saw that flyer, I was pretty excited about it. And I gave Dennis a tape that was just me goofing around with my friends and some rock combos, but mostly just experimenting on the 4-track. And
the instrumentation, was it acoustic?
There was a lot of acoustic, but I'd say mostly it was like at least 70% me on electric guitar and then some acoustic and then some full band with drums and then some just having my cat meow into a reverb and echo machine, you know, that kind of thing.
The difference is this ain't Chuck, this ain't an ensemble. This is man alone just trying everything you can, right?
Yeah, with a revolving door of friends and guests who would come in and just... There was no, like, set roster. It was just my friends just coming in, my roommates at college coming in, my girlfriends coming in, doing some vocals. It was, like, 20 people on that tape.
Okay, and did it already have the name Goosewind?
No, this is, it was actually called Fifth Placard, spelled FIPPLACARD.
Of course.
Yeah.
Placards, like a sign, right?
Yeah, exactly. Fifth Placard, and I gave Dennis that tape is a 90-minute tape full of just stuff, right?
Yeah.
And he put out the whole thing.
Yeah,
the whole
of course. The whole enchilada.
And I was so happy. I was so excited. And one of the songs...
How did he put it out? As a cassette?
Yes, he put out as a cassette. As one of the first Shrimper, it's on the original Shrimper roster. And then one of those songs got put on the Winky Dog compilation. I think it was the second Shrimper compilation. And I was just beside myself with joy that this stuff was going out to the world, you know, to this the people who like this kind of music, you know.
Yeah.
And I get letters from you know, England and in Finland and all over the place. You know, I was just really excited about being in the whole thing.
Montclair.
Yeah. And then the next record.
There really is a difference between Claremont and Montclair, right?
Yes, but they're very close to each other.
I know. Geographically, they are. But culturally, there's a little difference.
Oh, they're
difference,
totally
a
different.
A little bit.
They're so different. Claremont is totally a college town.
I know. It was supposed to be an ironic kind of thing there.
Right. It totally is, exactly. I remember moving out to that area, I was thinking the same thing. I was like, how strange that it's the same word, but with a reverse, you know, Montclair, Claremont. I'm all, this is confusing. How am I going to survive? But it was pretty awesome.
Well, you know what Sly Stone says, not where you're from, it's where you're at.
Yeah,
I want to play some more Goosewind. I want to play Cloud Control.
Traveling southbound on the 101. It's bumper to bumper. It's no fun. Up in the distance, a giant bird of prey. A wing stretched out against the light of day. Drifting in circles. What must that view be like? See the ocean as the otter slides. Still be able to hone in on the field mice with vision so precise. Now I'm feeling resilient, like Serpico, unwilling to bake with dirty dough. I step into liquid to cool my feet. Out darts a stingray, luckily out of reach. Swimming in circles, gliding just above the sand. How's the world look like through your eyes? A view underwater of such clarity, and able to take your sweet time doing everything. The timing's all right.
I'd achieved my dreams. I'd made it, boys. I was but a machine, a grinding gear, a honking bus, passing through a tunnel and high on drugs.
I work with her, actually, in Long Beach.
No, but I think at the Whittier College is where Dick Nixon went to lawyer school.
Oh, right, right. Yeah, he's a Whittier guy.
And another Whittier connect, Al Flipside.
Flipside, yes.
It comes out of Whittier. Hmm. Okay, I got to tell people. Cloud Control, Goose Wind, Girls in Synthesis, Interlude, Ashes Stiff with Cold, Lisa Cameron, Damon Smith, Alex Cunningham, Kiwi Jr., Unspeakable Things. They're Montreal people, not New Zealand. Secret Street Sex, re-release out of Austin. Copper in the Slots, Ray Shin, Blood and Cement. SLW and Bob Buckle Jr. out of Iowa City with The Achiever. And then finally, Rendezvous from Goosewind. So, Melody, when did you join the Goosewind thing?
That would be November 2019. We took a road trip together to Texas. You want to explain what that venue was?
Yeah, we played at a place called Super Happy Funland at an event organized by my buddy Caleb Frade, who's also releases stuff on all the DIY labels that I'm on. We're on all the same labels together.
Right.
And he's an awesome dude. And we started talking to each other because he's a huge Houston Astro fan. I'm a huge Dodger fan. So we started talking about baseball, not music, really. And then eventually he started talking about this festival he's going to get together in Houston. So we drove out there and Melody played bass for the first time on stage at that event. And it was a
not left-handed keyboard, but bass guitar.
She played bass guitar and did an amazing job holding it down.
Yeah, I always wanted to learn that to play bass. It didn't take too long.
Wow. How long had you been playing before that gig?
A couple weeks.
A couple weeks?
Not very long.
No, that's fucking bitch. I'm into that. Way into that. What kind? What kind of bass was it?
What kind of bass was it?
I played yours.
Oh, yeah. She played mine.
No, I played Madeline.
She played Madeline's, what is that thing? Oh, it's a Dan Electro.
Dan Electro. Okay. Yeah, little guys, right?
Yeah, right? Yeah, kind of a little like a
kind of Mason,
Beatles-looking
Masonite, like Masonite yeah. body, right?
Yeah. Right, right. And now I got a...
You know whose bass was like that I got to play? Was Richard Hell. He let me play at his apartment in 2nd Street in Manhattan there. The first bass he bought, he let me play. It was a little copper-colored Dan Electro bass.
Sweet.
Yeah. He's my first punk rock hero. I couldn't believe that a bass player could lead the band. I thought that's where you put your retarded friend. Anyway, we're at the end of the second hour.
Right?
August 21, 2022, this is Watt Peters, a special guest, Goose Wynn. Hold tight, fire three. August 21st, 2022, it's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro show.
kiss my mama. I survived the worst food in Louisiana. I guarantee.
Watch for Pedro Show third hour. Start off with Goose Whip. During a night like this, and then Port Sunshine out of Hamburg with Sabaku no Yoru Ifbiwana. Brother Amagolis out of Chester, New York with Free Webern. Northern Jaw from here in SoCal with How to Tension. It's today's How. Yeah, French, you're not supposed to say the last letters. Larry Connell. And then finally, Goose Wind with PB Arsenal. Yeah, Portman. What's that? When you call it, you put together words by putting them together. So the first real gig you did, Melody, it was Houston gig.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Wow. And then, so you, Rick, you said it's kind of a revolving door. So as different people come in, does the way Goose Wind operate, kind of change, adapt to the cats you're playing with?
Yeah, absolutely. People bring in ideas and we go with it. We have no set formula. You know, I like the idea that when people pick up a Goose Wind album, they have absolutely no idea what they're going to hear. I want to continue.
What about you when you go into a studio and it's time for another, like, this one you did now is what, 13 years?
Well, I've been on other small labels, but for Shrimper, this is the first one in 30 years.
In 30 years? Okay, yeah. Okay. So, like, yeah. I'm going to make a Goose Wind record, but then you go in there really not expecting, right? People are just going to bring whatever. Or do you make little demos, or do you have a notebook full of words, or?
It's a very much one take kind of thing. I just try to get the raw emotion down on tape with whatever I'm working with, whatever kind of recording machine. So the recording machines themselves become part of the instrumentation, is the way I look at it.
And you're still a Tascam man.
Still a Tascam man, but I also, you know, go to other people's studios when.
Right,
when,
but, well, the Lady Jen with the Pro Tool thing, right? Did you ever find a solution with that tape problem?
Yes. So what I would do, like on a couple of the songs, on the ones that you played, I would use rhythm tracks backwards. I'd flip the tape backwards and just use the rhythm tracks and then use open tracks, if there were any, to fill in the new material. When I'd have an idea, I'd say, you know, I think I might be able to match this up. With something that's from the old tapes, you know? So I just use whatever blank tape I could possibly find. So that's kind of what happened with this project. And I just wanted to give a shout out to my daughter who sang vocals on A Night Like This on the Cure cover that you just played.
And so a lot of this with the Tascam lives at your pad.
Yeah. Most of it's home recorded, and then I take it to Jen's and she kind of cleans it up and puts a little reverb action on it or whatever it needs.
Well, she probably ends up mastering it too, probably, maybe.
Kind of. It's kind of a pre-mastering process she does, yes.
Uh-huh. And just to have another person from the outside, just for some perspective.
Exactly. Yeah. There's stuff that I don't hear that she can hear, like this bass frequency needs to come up and this needs to be balanced and that kind of thing. And she's really, really fantastic at it. And she gets along with all of them. My daughter loves Jen. We all love Jen. She's so easy to work with, and she has so many good production ideas. So I consider her more of a producer. She's on her way from going to being an engineer to being a producer. And we'll talk about that kind of transition.
And how did you meet her?
At my work. We worked together.
Okay, so it just... Oh. Just what was a coincidence, you had common interests.
Yes, we actually played in a band together for a short time called Social Cue. And we'd play at Deep Piazzas in Long Beach and other places.
Deep Piazzas. Yeah. It's still around, but Mark don't have it anymore.
Yeah, Mark sold it, but what a great guy.
Why did the guy keep the fucking name?
I don't know.
I asked Mark that. He said, yeah, what the fuck's that about?
Me and Melody were talking about that yesterday, actually. Like, so he sold it, but the place is still called Deep Piazza.
Yeah.
But Mark was such a great guy, you know?
Beautiful. And before that, remember the Lava Lanes? He had a pad before that pad, yeah.
Oh, wow. I've heard about it.
I think because that one was at the end of Anaheim, right? And I think that this other place was on PCH. But anyway, I go back with him. He's a beautiful man. Yeah. I want to play some more Goosewind, of course.
All right. Blind Willie. Dark was enough.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, we lived right up the street from that house.
Okay, yeah. Because they had two pads next to each other. People were talking about the old days, Recess Records, Todd Conge, and that whole Porch Chorus scene. Rick's hip to this. That's bitching.
I see Todd walking with boxes of records, you know. I was like, hey, are you in a band or something? He's like, yeah, I run a label. I was like, no way. I'm in a band, too.
Peachy way, yeah. Well, before that, he had a band called 5-Year Plan, right? Okay. And in fact, Raul helped him with a couple tours. And now he runs the Sardine on Pacific and 11th. We can actually play in Peel. I mean, we used to do some gigs at the Harold's place and stuff. I think I'm going to be there next week doing some Stooges with those guys. Last music for this edition, people, Goose Wind with Dark Was the Night. Ratchet Orchestra out of Quebec with Hemlock Part 2. Medicine Singers, Shooting Star Press. Diane Marie Kloba with Joanna. Joanna. Yeah, we used to do that. Yeah, from Kill City, Stooges. Fine with Uncle Menarch. I mean, you got to have balls to call your band Fine, right? I would. And the Muskeg Mudsuck with Una Barceus. Again, French is pardon, my fucking screwing up the language. And finally, Goosewind with Ammonia 22.
Ammonia. That's the one that I used the backwards tracks from the 90s.
You repurposed them.
Yes.
And recontexted them. Yeah.
Exactly.
I love that. That's bitching. Like you say, the process becomes one of the members of the fucking band.
That's exactly right. Yep, that's exactly. And you know what? I found new tape finally that's reliable. It's Sonic Youth sold their cachet of half inch and 2-inch tapes online, and my friend told me about it. He's like, "Yeah, Sonic Youth's selling all their analog tape." So I bought two reels, and they're in perfect condition. They're like totally usable. They stored them at the right temperature or whatever you have to do.
Are these half inch?
Yeah, half-inch reels, right. 2 half-inch reels, yep.
Like they would go on Studers or something, yeah.
They're perfectly, so now I'm back in the tape, so I got to tell myself.
In old days, people, you would record to a multi-track master, sometimes up to 2 inches wide with 24 tracks, and then you would mix down to a half-inch master, and because, they're stereo, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just right. That art got lost, right? Along with the razor blades and the splicing tape and all that stuff.
Yeah, I still splice tapes with both cassettes, and I still mix down the standard cassette. You know,
you open up boxes with little Phillips drivers and
sure do. Open up the box with the tiny little Phillips eyeglasses.
I know about that
screwdriver,
it's got a little. You got to have that little membrane in there because that keeps the things from getting all sticking and lubricated and shit. So
exactly.
What's the next plan for Goosewind?
We already started recording a couple songs. One's just celebrating the miracle of tape in all its forms. One masking, one scotch, and scotch clear or something like that.
Now, did you ever write songs about Upland when you were young?
Sure, yeah, I wrote it.
Well, I'm asking that because I'm wondering if nowadays, are you writing songs about Pedro?
Oh, absolutely. There's a couple songs about the ocean. We go to Cabrillo Beach every day.
So you are a recent transplant because people who live here don't say that.
What do they call it?
We only fuck up two words. We don't say fucking jalapenos or tortillas, frijoles, but we do say Cabrillo and we do say Pedro.
Ah, Cabrillo, okay.
Yeah, because if we hear that other way, it's like, sure, that's proper. But even the Latin guys will say it the other way because we know you've been here.
now I know. I've been here about 13 years.
Wow, 13 years, and you didn't know that.
I didn't know Cabrillo. No, but now I do. Thank you for the lesson.
I mean, his name was Juan Bautista Cabrillo, right? He was a Portuguese guy. Oh, yeah, he discovered that there was 10,000 people living here. They were called Tugas, right?
Right.
He's that guy. He's waving to Stephen White. Those statues. If you go down to Cabrillo, right? You see him.
Statues. Yeah.
One day we're going to get a family of a tug, and no words or anything. Just put them out there so people might wonder. Hey, there's these two guys, but then there's this family. I wonder what's, how it all makes sense. One day. Well, that's beautiful. Look, when you get this more stuff recorded, I would like to just do a whole show on you and your Pedro album, Goosewind Pedro album.
Yeah, you can see the the studio that I have, all Tascam 80s machines, it's pretty fun. And,
is there a way to see it on the web?
Well, I took a photo of it. I can send it to you.
No, I'm talking about listeners.
Oh, is there a camera function on this?
I don't know. Site? Do you have a? Is there a Goosewind website?
Well, there's a Bandcamp.
Yeah, that's a corporate thing, but they're probably the best to bands. I like those people the most, I think. Yeah. Okay, so people, goosewind.bandcamp.com. Please check it out. And Rick, Melody, I'd love to have you on the show again as soon as possible. I can't wait to hear Goosewind Pedro album. Okay. And right now, I got to get over to Channel Street and Gaffey. I help do a bunch of benefits to get those skate parts, and they're inaugurating the redoing of them. They redid them. And I got to go there because Andy Harris, he's the longshoreman who put all that stuff together so the kids don't have to get run over in the street on the skateboard. In fact, they were so happy when they built that one at Peck Park up on Western, they used some of the guys who designed this one. So anyway, beautiful having you on. Please keep on keeping on.
Cool. We will do. And I want to thank Dennis again for hooking us up together, Mike.
Absolute. Can't wait to meet you in person, Rick. You too, Melody. Okay. People, it's been August 21, 2022. This is Wild Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.